Hey, all you Arizona lovers. This is the Finding Arizona podcast, episode number 395. I'm your host, Jose. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Today's episode is with Native Camper Vans. I'm very excited for this episode and to have one of their creators and founders, Dylan, for coming in and sharing his story on how they got started and what his background is with the business. I want to say this is a growing business and they just opened up one of their newest markets here in Phoenix. So that's why we're interviewing them. If you are into the camper life, or you want to just take something out on the road that has that style of camp life that you are looking for, this is the place to go. Check it out, and we always connect you guys with every person who comes in through our doors in the links in the bio below. So go check that out, click, find out how you can get involved, and we hope that you guys enjoy this episode. And before we go, we want to share a little bit about us. You can hear every Finding Arizona podcast episode at FindingArizonaPodcast.com. And if you'd like to go get a live version where you can see our wonderful faces and get a little bit closer to the whole thing, you can go to youtube.com/FindingArizonaPodcast. And if you want to just stay on the social media side and stay connected with us, Finding Arizona Podcast under everything. And let's say you want to just get really involved and want to send us a direct line, you think you have someone who will be a good fit for us, FindingArizonaPodcast@gmail.com. There, we'll stay connected with you guys and respond back to those emails. I've just had a lot of things on my plate lately. Actually, just to keep you guys in the loop of what's been going on in the household, little guy has a little bit of a fever, but he's a trooper. He's doing well. He's okay. He's just kind of, lethargic and has a fever a little bit, but he's going to manage just fine. And this is just one of those moments in life when your parenthood and your life with your work is just boom, put together in a whirlwind of things that we have to do versus the things that we prioritize. So mom's with him. We're doing a lot of behind the scenes for the podcast at the same time. It's a whole juggling process. But again, he's fine. We're doing fine. Everyone's here. Wonderful. And we're very happy. And we're very involved in what's been going on behind the scenes with the podcast. There's a lot of upcoming episodes that we're excited for. A lot of, a lot of planning for episode 400. We hope you guys are excited for that one, because that one's going to be a very special episode with some very special guests. Yes, I said more than one guests. So we hope you guys are excited for that episode. Stay tuned for that one. And that being said, we'll just jump into the podcast today, episode number 395, five away from 400. And we hope you will stay tuned with us. Subscribe, like, share with your friends, and we will see you on the next episode. But until then, kisses, hugs, and belly rubs to our four-legged friends, and we will see you next time. Two, one. Welcome back, everybody, to the Finding Arizona podcast. I'm your host, Jose. And as always, we bring in fantastic guests every week. Today is no different. I'd love to introduce you to Dylan here. He is actually the co-founder and CMO of Native Camper Vans. And Dylan was inspired by his experience with his co-founder, John, to decide to bring camper van lifestyle to the heart of Colorado in 2015. Native Camper Vans launched with just two converted minivans operating out of Dylan's backyard. And today, Native Camper Vans has hubs in Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, and now Phoenix with over 80 vans. So congratulations to you guys, first off. And secondly, welcome, Dylan.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I just did that because I really wanted to jump right into it and get really dive deep in your origin story, because there's a big, beautiful journey that you took that I'd love to hear about. So can you give us a little bit of that origin story of how you went on your trip and got inspired to feel this lifestyle?
Sure thing. Yeah, this is back in 2013. It's actually a pretty fun story where I was planning a trip to New Zealand with my partner at the time.
Awesome.
We broke up. So I'm like, well, I'm still going to go on this epic trip that I've been wanting to go on for a while. And John, my co-founder, business partner, he was actually in a golf tournament. He was playing, and he was one of those. It was a par three. You had to pay $20. And, nice. You know, if you hit the green, you get a prize. If you hit within 10 feet, 20 yeah. feet, so on and so forth. He actually paid the $20 and got a hole in one.
Oh, get out of here. You gotta love that.
I know. So at that time, he won a couple $1,000s. I'm like, John, come on, join me on this trip. So he bought the ticket, and we ended up going to New Zealand together. So
nice.
This is back in like late fall of 2013. And we just rented a camper van, went to the South Island, and I just fell in love with it. You know, it was one of those, we landed and we're like, we go to the agent that checked us out. We're like, which way should we go? what direction? He's like, south maybe? I'm like, okay. So we had no plan. It was really just up in the air where we're like, okay, let's go figure this thing out.
Yeah.
It was a magical couple of weeks. Yeah, during that time, I actually left my cell phone at home intentionally. Nice. I'm like, I just need to like check out. I need a break. I don't know if I could do that now with a wife and a young daughter. But at that time, yeah, we were able to go and just disconnect and met some incredible people, did some hikes. We camped anywhere. It was like called dispersed camping, free camping. Mm-hmm. You know, each night was just kind of an adventure, and ended up caravanning with some Austrians that we met for a few weeks. Nice. And it was just a magic experience. Mind you, this van that we were in was rough. You know, every time we parked, we had to go and check the coolant, check the oil. It was on its last legs, but it kind of added to it. We ended up naming it Rapunzel. It was graffitied with that Rapunzel on the side. So it was just an inspiring vacation. It was one of those that actually, you know, it's like when you have one of those trips, you know, in it has a lasting feel. So when we ended up, you know, dropping the van off, got back to the States, it was always kind of on the back of our mind, like, that was incredible. What would happen if we brought this kind of concept to the States?
For sure.
So fast forward, you know, a year and a half plus. At that time, I quit my job and I was doing IT sales staffing.
Okay.
And quit that in 2014. And then John ended up leaving his job in healthcare administration in 2015. And we're kind of bouncing ideas back and forth. And it always kept reverting back to the camper van experience we had in New Zealand. We're like,
yeah.
And we tried bringing this to the States. And, you know, lo and behold, we bought a minivan, converted it, and put it up on Instagram and tried just bootstrapping as much as we could.
That's awesome. I mean, really, in actuality, too, it's like, you know, this lifelong, beautiful trip that has changed your life has now kind of snowballed into becoming your life. And so I love the feeling of this story, because there's something so beautiful and primal about like letting yourself go into something that you're not you're not fully in the life, or you're not really, you're just trying it out for the first time, but now it's become even blossomed into something that you can't live without, or something that is just taking over your life. And I have that same experience with this podcast, where I had no idea what I was doing in the beginning and didn't think that this was going to ever become a big major factor in my world. So it was, again, it's like, I love those kind of stories, because I have some kind of connection to it, where it's like I can see myself in that position of like, hey, it takes over your life, and you find something and you connect with it, and you roll with it. So that's wonderful that you bootstrapped it too, because I love that essence of it, and bringing that element of like, I love this so much that I'm willing to start from the bottom and work my way up. Can you give us some insight on those two first vans that were at it? Were they just as needing of repair as your first trip?
No, they weren't. Fortunately, we bought them new, and John, he always had hand-me-downs. I swear, he had like three different Ford Explorers. That was just in his lineage. So just hand-me-downs.
Nice.
The first car he's ever bought himself was a Dodge Grand Caravan minivan. I think signing those paperwork is a little nerve-wracking. Yeah, like everyone's dream. And so we gutted it. We pulled all the seats out, and we just started fabricating ourselves. Now, just want to reverse a little bit. Van life, it's a hugely popular term now. Obviously, on social media, it exploded on Instagram. I think there's billions of views on TikTok. You know, just it's mainstream now. When we got started, the term wasn't prevalent. We didn't even know that there was a movement or anything kind of happening in the undercurrent. So that was probably a lot by luck too. Just, you know, I would like to say like there was foresight, like, oh, this is a new space, it's entering this industry. No, it would be just like vans. And we're like, let's try it out. Unfortunately, it started snowballing. But those two minivans we bought, we self-converted them.
Okay.
And, you know, it was such trial and error. We put a little kitchen in the rear where the trunk would be. It was kind of removable. And the interior we'd go in, it was a kind of dinette that would flatten out to a bed.
Yeah.
We tried, we're like, at first, like, you know, instead of using, you know, kind of, you know, bedding and kind of just actually like padding and whatnot, we're like, can we try an inflatable mattress? But like, maybe that makes sense. We can just, you know, we have a little AC outlet. Can we try figuring something like that? John did that. He tested it out and it deflated like four times on him on the first night. Up in Vail at a wedding. He's like, never again. So we had scrapped that immediately. And we're like, no, no. Okay, let's go back to conventional. Let's do upholstery and what have you. And and we started renting these things out. You know, we really had to figure it all out ourselves. So again, we didn't know the booking platform, the software, the insurance. There was just so much nuance that we had to figure out building a website, which I built. I never built a site before. And put it out there and seeing if people were actually going to respond to it. And I remember our first customer, Sophia. I think she's from like North or South Carolina and she's coming to do a fishing trip. And I have a bunch of photos of this. And, you know, we're like, she booked, we were like, we celebrated, we went and had beers that day. We're like, no way this works. And, so she finally fast forward a few weeks, she comes and picks up the van. And by new, I'm at my house. Mm-hmm. This is where business is located. This is our address, our LLC. But there's a coffee shop right down the road. Mm-hmm. This is in Denver. And so we're like, okay, let's meet you at the coffee shop. So we meet her there. We go in the coffee shop, we do all the paperwork and what have you. And, you know, we're trying to show her the van and do a whole walkthrough. And it's just a busy street that cars are just flying back and forth. And it's just like trying to have this intimacy. And, you know, she's like, okay, where's the propane for the stove? I'm like, oh no, I forgot that. I sprint home, go grab the propane, bring it back. It was just, we didn't know what we're doing. And fortunately people flew, you know, they just rolled with it. You know, and it was trial by error. So that was 2015. We had a short season. It was really just started in June, first rent through September, probably 15 bookings that first year. We're like, okay, but I think there's something here.
Yeah.
And then 2016 is really where it started to build up. We got six vans. We started working out of an Airstream.
Yeah.
This guy's lot, Bill, let us work out of there for free. And there was no heat or AC. So you'd meet customers in the middle of summer and you're just pouring sweat in this Airstream, just trying to like do like, you know, get their credit card information and what have you. It was, I mean, again, but you look back now, I'm like, I cannot believe we did that stuff
to get here,
And it's just, it's flabbergasting. We'd meet customers at 2 a.m. if they flew in to pick up a van.
Yeah.
Now we're so tight on a restriction. It's like, you know, we would go and pick people up and, you know, it was just what we definitely just grinded to get to where we're at today. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Dude, there's so much I want to go into because you brought up like the first couple of vans and you testing out. Like essentially you guys are like testing out your own product where it's like the you know, blow up mattress that didn't work. Like, we got to change it up. And also like self-building this, that's the cool part to me where you guys made the decision of like, we're not going to have someone else build this for us just yet. Let's plan out. Let's see what we know that'll be functional, that'll work within our budget, that'll work, you know, with us making it ourselves. And also you guys will later down the road will have the competency to speak what you like to, let's say, a manufacturer who's going to build these later down the road. So I love that because that's how I feel about my podcast and what I'm doing for this business is I had, you know, zero experience with audio and visual and doing the stuff that I do now, the website, things like that. So I had to learn on the go and really I feel for you about the AC because I was doing this out of a, I don't even know how to call it. It's like a garage almost, screen printing t-shirts, but the dryer that dries the ink of the shirts is going off in the background. Also just like making the room as hot as it can. You're like, you're doing this. You're like, oh, I'm so sorry. You're sweating, have some water. It's like, it was like, I don't know how I got away with like the first 10 episodes, like literally bootstrapping it and trying to make it work. But it worked for some reason. People vibed with it and really kind of encouraged me to keep going. And that led to more postings and people coming in the doors and things like that. So I feel for you on that. And then on top of that, I'd love the fact that you guys were like willing to just slowly progress, you know, really yep. feel the market out and just really understand what you're providing here. That 2015 to into 2016, is there anything that stands out to you? Maybe social media wise, like, is there a video or something that you guys posted or someone else posted that really kind of pushed it forward into getting those other vans?
You know, I think social media at that point, I didn't know it. And at first I was like, do we even have to participate? You know, again, this is such the infancy. Yeah,
that's how I was. Do I have to participate?
I'm like, dude, can we just get by without it? I'm like, I don't want to be on it all day. But we saw the power of it. Actually, that first renter found us via social media, awesome. Aggie and Van Life. And what else? We're like, oh my goodness, like this actually gets us customers and we're not paying for it. Mm-hmm. And at that time, it was one of those where you could post a photo of a van, especially the interiors of it. Because again, this is really new. This was before the Sprinters and the big custom yeah. builds that we see out around today, they would garner 400, 500, 600 likes at every time, like every wow. post. So that definitely was trending. And we're like, okay, people are showing interest here. So that was huge for us, just kind of the spiral and just kind of seeing the revenues come through. And we're like, okay, now mind you, we weren't paying ourselves for the first 2 years. So yeah. it looked really good. Our business looked great on paper when there's free employees and free rent. Like, yeah, we can make this thing work. But yeah, I think social media has just always been a huge factor for us. It's changed a lot over the years. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, as you know, we were kind of late to adopting that. Okay, it's only reels now and yeah. not just the static photos, because we have a lot of user generated content that we would just be able to post for people's trips. And that's kind of morphed. And now it's TikTok and it's being relevant on YouTube and it's all these different channels.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job staying on top of what's emerging right now and how people are consuming information.
Absolutely.
So to show that we're being there, we have a presence and it's organic as well.
Hey, man, I totally yeah. understand that aspect of it, because there is definitely something there with social media where it's like you have no control, but you also have you can have so much fun with it. You can have yep. so much ability to traffic to your site or traffic to somewhere where we can have more personalized content and curated yep. content. It's just so it runs the gamut of how you want to distribute and how you want to be seen. So there is definitely, it took me a while to learn that aspect of it. Yep. And once I understood and kind of felt the positivity that came from it, it was like I was all aboard. I was like, let's keep turning yep. it out. And I love doing the little vertical clips for the reels and things like yep. that, where we can share those really fun moments of our podcasts, where it's like it's just that one clip where you're just like, this stands out yep. amongst all the rest of the conversation. So I'd love to just kind of get your personal life just for a little bit. You said you have a wife and a daughter, and I'd yep. love to understand where she met you in the timeline of this business.
In the journey of it. Yeah. We started in 2015. We ended up starting dating March of 2018. So you know, call it, you know, 2.5 years of establishment. Okay. So the business at that point, we had a foundation and we were growing, but
yeah.
Yeah, this is still a time where my business partner and I, it was maybe we had 2 employees. That was probably in Salt Lake City and in Denver, one each. So we're still trading off weekends and trading off holidays. And so, I mean, the work took precedent over everything, you know, especially him and his partner at the time.
Yeah.
So my wife, Julie, and my girlfriend at the time, you know, she adapted well in the sense that she was an entrepreneur as well.
Yeah.
She's an artist and, you know, has her own business doing, you know, graphic and animation and whatnot. So she was awesome. Kind of hustling on her end too. So that was a huge attraction. You know, fortunately now, fast forward to 2024, we have a team of, I think it's 13 to 14 full-time employees.
Great.
And we actually have realistic time off. We have our weekends. We have, we can take a holiday and a Christmas and a Thanksgiving yeah. and whatnot. So it's cool that there's a better balance now. Mind you, as you know, with your podcast, it's a lot of work, you know, it's a lot of out of office, you know, like, a lot of time at evenings, just even like, you know, just meeting, just even travel. It does take the precedent. I think, yeah, she's been sacrificed a lot for this business and had to put it at the forefront where I'm just super appreciative. But now I have a 9-month-old daughter. So that's changed a little bit. Her name is Nelly. Thank you. Aww. And so she's amazing. So it's really interesting trying to find that dynamic of, you know, how much time do I get to spend with her before I leave work? When I come home, do I have that designated hour and a half before she goes to bed?
Yeah.
And just trying to stretch the weekends and just really take full advantage. I want to set a good example to her of mm-hmm. how I work. But also, I don't want to look back, you know, in 20 years and say I spent most of my time just focused on a business instead of the family. So it's a battle, and we're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I completely appreciate that, because I don't know if you know anything about me yet, but it's like he just turned 3. He's with mom right now. He's actually out shopping with mom right now, but he just turned 3.
What's his name?
His name's Atlas. He's a big, like, everything. He has a joy and then this laughter, but he's really big, kind of like outdoorsy kid, where he really enjoys being outside and loves playing outside. But on top of which, that understanding of like making time for the appropriate amount of like giving to him and giving to, you know, all these other elements in your life, I completely appreciate, because it also brings you another, sense of energy. Like, you know, I really want him to, like you said, understand, like, I work, but I also love him so much that I'm putting my time in with him and want him to understand and appreciate what I do as well. So it's like, it's definitely a big change, but it's also, I work from home a lot. And so I get to spend the most time with him, and I wouldn't change that for the world, because, you know, that bond that we have is just like, it's incredible. I love that little dude, and he's really been a lot of fun to really experience life through his eyes and what he sees in the world. So I really want to push the envelope with just getting him as much time with dad as possible and giving him our relationship bonding time. So
that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. So I can definitely respect and appreciate where you're coming from. I asked that question because I met my wife about, I want to say, like 10 episodes into the and it was early on, but she saw potential, and she had a business at the time. And so she took it upon herself. She's like, let me help you, whether it's through photography or through business management and things like that. And so she saw something very beautiful in what I was trying to achieve and what I was trying to accomplish with this podcast. So she really wanted to take the reins of helping me out in some sort of fashion, even when we were dating. That said a lot about her, and that stuck out to me. And so I was so appreciative. And now she's like my producer. She helps me out. Sure. And she does a lot of things behind the scenes, but she's a big part of this podcast, and it's a big part of our lives. We do a lot of blogging and vlogging our lives, and it's just, she's learning editing, and I've taught her a lot of things that I can leave to her now and not have to take the full load of it. But yeah, it's been it's been a very big effect on my whole family. So it's really fun to share super that. Cool. Yeah. So again, I really do appreciate this whole story and how you guys have really bootstrapped this and built this from the ground up. Mm-hmm. I'd love to understand kind of your what keeps you balanced. Is there still a love for going camping and being in the van? And does your family enjoy those? Maybe you guys take maybe one little trip in one of your crew vans and go out and experience it and go out into the world like that.
Yeah, so we have our own van too. Nice. So I had a couple of VWs growing up, and my folks had an 83 Westfalia. I had a 1999 Carat. Nice. But now we have a ProMaster. It literally sits in front of my house. Similar to the vans that we offer to rent. So we rent 3 different models, the Biggie, Squad, Smalls. This one looks like kind of like a Biggie, a little bigger. And I just got outfitted to put a third seat in there that's DOT approved for Nell.
Nice.
So I probably spend... Yeah, this is pre-baby, like, you know, maybe 2 months out of the year in the van.
Okay.
Just traveling to my different locations, like incorporating that into weekends a lot. Like that just, you know, we'll mess around for 10 days and just go, and I'll travel to my offices and what have you. Nice. That's limited now just because of the change of the family. We went camping I think she was 3 months old when we went camping for the first time. We took the van up to Wyoming. Mm-hmm. It was a blast, but it was definitely different where, you know, she goes to bed at 7. I usually am by the fire having a few beers, you know, hanging out like while you're camping. So just trying to figure out that dynamic of, you know, we put her to bed, we were at the fire hanging out. Then when we went into the van, shut the door, she wakes up. So we'll figure it out. But this next year, hopefully we can get out quite a bit. Van life is still my favorite thing in the world. Absolutely love the whole experience. I love the freedom it provides you. I love the fact that you can, you know, you have a plan and you might be like, okay, we're going to go to, you know, Moab this weekend to go and do some mountain biking. If the weather turns, cool, let's go south instead. It's, you have flexibility.
Yeah.
And then there's also this remoteness. You know, I mentioned New Zealand, how I'd left my phone, you know, back in the States. You know, oftentimes we're camping, there's no service. It's just a way to go and disconnect. It's a way to just recharge the batteries. Yeah. And it's usually really venture oriented. So it's bringing the mountain bike, it's bringing the fly rod, it's doing a lot of hikes, it's finding a river or hot springs that we can go and hike into and hang out. It's magic, and especially when there's no, I really just stay in like kind of free sites. The Colorado, Arizona is great there. A lot of, you know, Forest Service roads, Bureau of Land Management, BLM land, just a lot of this stuff where as long as you know, and you can use accordion apps and stuff, you can go and camp for free and spend, you know, pretty much a free vacation.
Absolutely. I was going to get, we were going to transition that way into, you know, how you guys, or why you guys, I assume it's expansion, but it's just one of those things of like, why Arizona after doing Colorado, Utah, why choose this as a hub. And then on top of that, it's just, again, I would love to just say, it's like, I grew up on an Indian reservation on the Hopi reservation near the Four Corners. And the first time I witnessed a night sky without city light pollution was the most, I mean, it's changed my life still. Like, I wish I could go and take a, like, I took a mental picture, but I wish I could have taken an actual photo, but it was, I could see the Milky Way. I could see all of it. And it was a beautiful summer sky. I was like riding in the back of a van, just in the, or not in the van, in a truck bed, looking like we were traveling along the highway. I was just looking up and into the night sky. And I'm like, this is incredible. I've never seen anything like this. And I feel so small in this giant world, but it was breathtaking to the point of like, I never wanted to stop. It was so beautiful. And I live to want to do that again, where it's like away from light pollution, be able to see the night sky as a full like thing. And this is very interesting to me. Like, your business is that kind of opportunity that my brother and myself live for, because we are very much still those little res boys that love being out in the wilderness and still love getting away and going off grid. But it's, again, it's like, there's a level of like comfort too, when you have something like this, you know, still being able to cook for yourself, still being able to have those amenities, a bed for sure.
Heater fan.
But yeah, it's like give us a little insight as why is Phoenix kind of this new hub or newish hub for you guys, and why, you know, what made you decide that?
Great question. So as I mentioned, you know, we started Denver, Salt Lake City was 2018. We opened up Las Vegas in 2019. And then we took a big pause. You know, we're trying to figure out our business. We're trying to see that what makes sense, how many vans per location, you know, trying to perfect like, the operations itself. But we always recognize that winter is kind of our down season. So my New York's, our peak is, you know, May through October. That's just when most people are camping. But when we open up Las Vegas, we recognize that, wow, Vegas has actually become our best producing office because it is Four Seasons. And people are going there all year round. They're going to Joshua Tree, Death Valley, Zion, Bryce, all the spots. So we relocate a lot of our vehicles down to Vegas during the off season. And we're looking for another warmer location to go and put our vehicles to. That was a really good jumping off spot. So we always focus our spots on making sure they're next to a big airport. I would say about 75 to 80% of our customers tend to not be domestic in the sense that they're flying into the location to do a road trip. So we need to be convenient in that sense. But we felt Phoenix was the perfect spot. It's obviously, it can be Four Seasons. The area around there, I mean, I don't need to tell you guys, but, you know, Grand Canyon, Sedona, Page, Horseshoe Bend. I mean, Bisbee, like all these different spots are really unique and really special. And we always look at places where a lot of our customers want to go. National parks tend to be the draw, you know, especially imagine if you're from New York, Boston, Atlanta, you don't really get the exposure of what it's like out here in the Western US.
The vastness.
It's expansive. It's vast. It is just a monster. And, So, but most people, you know, say the average trip length that we rent out is about 7 to 8 days. Mm-hmm. They have a short amount of time, you know. Unfortunately for us Americans, you know, we don't have much vacation time, you know, if you're working for a corporation. So you try to squeeze a lot in a little amount of time. So everyone really wants to head to these national parks to see them, adventure, experience them. And we want to give people an easy opportunity to fly in and hit those. So Phoenix has been super successful so far. We opened up in October. Mm-hmm. I got to say, it is hard finding a location out there. I was looking for about 2 to 3 months. I found out that your vacancy rate is 2% right now. It was really difficult trying to find a location that fit our needs. Now, mind you, our needs are pretty unique in the sense that we need a small warehouse, small office, and ample parking to have the vans situated. Ended up finding a great spot, great landlord, just south of the 10.
Okay.
It's been super successful, and a lot of our customers are really about it right now.
That's super awesome. And thank you for giving us some insight as to reasonings behind location and why you chose the hub where it's at. Because again, didn't dawn on me that, your customer base is coming straight from the airport and trying to get into the van as quickly as possible, as easily as possible, and just move on with their trip. That is definitely something that stands out, because I try and like thinking about this on a your customer bases and what you guys have to do for ease of use, because it's like, it's one part a hotel, but one part a Hertz rental car sort of situation, where it's like you're trying to provide a unique experience and giving a customer satisfaction on that level too. So locating yourself, you know, in that kind of prime area is definitely a factor into your decision making. So I appreciate all of this information, because it just really makes me witness what you guys do on a grander scale of like how you look at your customer bases, why you do what you do on a operational scale. So I really do appreciate all the information that you've divulged today. Towards the end of our conversation, I typically like to move towards goals and kind of really focus in on the future and sort of how you go about things. Let's get into some goals for maybe this year, or maybe for the business in general. Our listeners like to help out as many ways as possible. So whatever you want to put out into the world or into the social media realm, I'd love to hear from you, the owner, what you guys are looking for.
No, I appreciate that. We're looking for expansion. Now, mind you, we started with those two vans back in 2015. We're at 80 vans now in our 4 locations. We have one of the stronger brands in the space. I think we're the go-to trusted experience. As you mentioned, we are a rental car plus a hotel. So when people pick up, we want to make sure that our tagline is adventure made convenient. We want to make sure everything's included in these vehicles. So it's obviously the bedding, the kitchenware, the cookware, the heater, the fan. We want to make sure that these people feel confident when they pick up a van that they're going to have all the amenities to go and have an amazing adventure. Absolutely. We want to be there and be helpful along the way. So in any way that is, and as you alluded to, when you're under the night sky and seeing those views, it's like you remember this trip. It's a hard trip. It's never that easy, because you are camping. You're not showering in your own shower. And there's a couple of nuances where you like your home comforts and you're pushing yourself on this experience. But it's so important that you have these, so you can always look back on and be like, figure out what's important or what's not. So our goal is to give that to more people and really just make ourselves available, make sure that our costs are accurate and competitive. And you know, as you mentioned, again, the hotel and rental car, our trip value is about $150 a night.
Okay.
It's hard to find that in a combination of the two, if that's the trip you're looking for. So as soon as somebody wants to see the Grand Canyon, they're flying in, renting a car that's staying in hotels and motels along the way. Mm-hmm. It'll be vastly more expensive, especially in season. So we want to make sure that we're making it convenient for people, allowing people to go and take these adventures that they couldn't do otherwise without the financial commitment of having to buy a van. I recognize I love my van more than anything, but that thing sits for months at a time.
Yeah.
I'm paying insurance, winterization, storage. It adds up, where we look at the rental experience where, hey, after you're done, you don't need to worry about the maintenance. You don't need to worry about the wear and tear. It just is not your problem. So just that's a nice kind of reassurance for customers, knowing that they don't have to be on the hook, and especially with roadside assistance, God forbid something happens, which it does inevitably. Mm-hmm. We have the means and the technology to go and get people back on the road as quickly as possible. So
awesome.
In terms of goals, really just continue to grow the company, grow the brand. You know, we're in the 4 locations now. We anticipate growth in the PNW in the near future.
Okay.
So a Seattle, a Vancouver, Portland, you know, we'd love to kind of be in that region. Right now we're kind of in the Southwest more or less.
Yeah.
So I'd love to get over there. Then eventually California, nice. To be, you know, Los Angeles, San Francisco. There's so many national parks. There's 9 in California. So yeah. Just to be able to go and hit those would be huge for us.
Man, I'll tell you what. Once you hit that Seattle and get into that PNW, like you were saying, yeah. You're surrounding California. So it's the like final yep. frontier right yeah. there. And then
California's is expensive.
Yeah, I know. But it's like once you – but again, it's I like to think of it as like a surrounding method. It's like you once you get – all of it. It's just, it's right there and you'll, yeah. you'll kind of like pick your battle, but it's like, that's one of those things. It's like, you just gotta, for California, you just gotta make sure that you're kind of all around it and attacking sure. it from all sides yeah. sort of deal.
That's
so, but I'd also like to say when that happens, what a trip for you and your family, if they want to come along for a trip for you, yep. to start off maybe in Phoenix and work your way up to the different locations right. and just, you know, get a full experience of what the mm-hmm. you know, roads have to offer you and your vehicle too, just to kind of start from the south and then work your way up north and then right. you know, have some fun along the way.
And we allow for one way, obviously, like, you know, trips, so people can pick up in Phoenix and drop off at any of our designated locations. And
nice.
It's so nice, you don't have to backtrack, you can take your time.
Yeah.
I think the thing, as I kind of alluded to before, there's so much to do and see, and it's overwhelming, where you might have a short trip and you're trying to spot all the national parks in Utah, the Mighty Five, where, you know, if you can do the one-way trip, maybe you can go and kind of just sit and just mm-hmm. be for a little bit and maybe spend 2 or 3 days in Zion or Bryce yeah. or even a non-national park, which is usually less crowded and just as beautiful, in my opinion. But yeah, the PNW would be incredible. The Olympic, the Cascades. I haven't spent much time up there. I'd love to. That is a dream trip. So.
Yeah,
I just need to open up an office and I have an excuse to go up there for
exactly.
a while.
That's what I yeah, meant. It's yeah. like you just have an excuse to just hit all the points. Like, I'm on work. I'm working. That's what I'm doing.
yep. Sorry.
I mean, I just wanted to also kind of pivot towards for you, what, you know, hopefully you hope to kind of, what's the ultimate goal? Like, is there something as far as amount of vans or something that sure. really piques your interest? Because that is something I feel like is really interesting. And is there any hope to expand eastward? Is there any yep. kind of like limit to this growth, maybe internationally, hopefully yep. in the future too?
Yeah, really, there's so many opportunities. You know, the most visited national park, you know what it is?
No.
It's the Great Smokies, and it like doubles, if not triples, Grand Canyon as the number 2.
Wow.
Great Smokies is in Appalachian, you know, yeah, kind yeah. of the Tennessee, you know, North Carolina. So that's the most busy national park. So if we can have a hub in like a Chattanooga and Atlanta for people to access that,
yeah,
absolutely enormous. There's so much potential there. Yeah, you know, in terms of the vans, we always try adding and making sure we're just adding smartly. You know, we're getting yeah. a lot better in our business. So, you know, we'd love to be at 125 in 2 years, you know, and okay. keep adding to the fleet and understand the sales cycle, when to disperse mm-hmm. our current fleet and when to add new vans to the fleet, trying to find that entire experience. You know, we obviously had hiccups during COVID
yeah.
that delayed quite a bit of the growth. Yeah. You know, chip shortages, inventory controls, and then, you know, obviously inflation. It was, you know, trying to figure out all the nuances that were coming with the new territory. But
sure.
yeah, we've been able to go in, you know, figure it all out and, you know, just ride the wave. And COVID actually in turn ended up being really helpful in the sense that a lot of people are trying to social distance appropriately. So they took our
yeah.
vans.
The vans help with that. Yeah.
Yeah. But then we put in a 50 van order that got canceled twice. So oh. then we couldn't get the vans that we're trying to grow. So, you know, we recognize, okay, we need to grow slowly, but, you know, assertively. And, you know, the fact that also inflation has played in the factor where our vehicles mm-hmm. are 30% higher than what they were a few years ago. So, taking that into account, how do we go and grow it? And without, you know, being, you know, just, yeah, just making sure we're growing smartly
yeah.
is really the goal.
And that makes me really I have a quick question, like, just it stands out. Does that actually factor into maybe prefabrication of these vans, like, you know, the interior aspects of it, of like maybe digitalizing what you guys are trying to achieve or accomplish? Like, you know, we would say a hotel room, you know, you have an architectural plan that you kind of, you know, have your two styles that you have for, you know, let's say one floor, and then you kind of copy and paste and maybe rotate, whatever it may be. Does that ever come into a factor? And then also, it's like, because of the inflation, have you guys started to intake maybe having your own builders in-house and things like that?
That was a great question. I mean, we've learned the hard way where, again, when we got started, the first few vans that we had built after we subcontracted it out took 300 hours of van to build. So that's doing everything by hand. Now everything's done via CNC, where if we place an order for a van to get built, we have a couple of different build partners. One in particular, it's about 2-3 week turnaround to be able to get the vehicle. So the fact you know, it's huge. I mean, it used to be such a cumbersome experience. So we can get a van on the road pretty quickly, especially if we see that, okay, bookings are through the roof in July, August. Great. Can we just figure out if we can add a couple more to the fleet? Mm-hmm. We're always trying to figure out different ways. How can we make these builds smarter, better, and more efficient?
Yeah.
At the same time, more functional. So every time we build these as a rental experience, so it's really trying to focus on what does a customer need to see? Mm-hmm. You know, and what's like, you know, are we using an induction cooktop because we don't want people messing with propane? Mm-hmm. Do we have our built-in heaters? They pull actually from the gas line now, so people don't need to, you know, have propane jugs there. Little things in the exhaust underneath the vehicle. So it's always trying to figure out what's the newest thing happening that we can really give our customers to enhance their experience and make it easy. That's the thing. You never want to jump in a spaceship. You don't know what to use. You're afraid to touch anything. These are really easy, really convenient. And what's really cool about these vehicles, the Biggie, our biggest one, it's 18 feet in length. That's the same size as a Suburban.
Yeah.
SUV. They're super easy to drive. They get about, you know, 18 to 20 miles per gallon. And so when you think about a, you know, a traditional RV that is 7 to 9, you know, miles per gallon, that's this huge thing you can't park. Ours fits in every normal parking spot. So it's really just trying to think of what the customer needs and wants, and then also recognize that we can't give them everything. Mm-hmm. For example, we don't offer bathrooms or showers in our vehicles. Yeah. That's a, you know, some people like that's a deal breaker. I need a bathroom in there. Or others are like, okay, we're mostly staying in campsites where we can go in and use the amenities on site.
Yeah.
Most of them have bathrooms and showers, estate ones, or private. So, you know, it's just trying to make sure that we are trying to provide that correct experience.
Nice. I just really appreciate kind of the nuances there and the minutiae of, like, you know, how these are built, and just really kind of the going into the details there. And so thank you for letting me ask that question, because that is definitely one that kind of, it's just as soon as you started talking about the technology and just kind of like how you guys are trying to move forward, it just popped into my head. So thank you again. So we're reaching the end of our conversation. I would love to give you the platform to promote yourself and let everyone know where they can find you online, how they can book, and everything in between, social media, whatever they need to know to find you guys over at Native Camper Vans. Go ahead.
Yeah. So social media, our tags are Native Camper Vans. That's on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Just jump on our website. You'll be able to go and see the three different model vans. As I mentioned, the Biggie, the Squad, and the Smalls.
Nice.
You plug in your dates right there. It's going to generate an accurate price. Prices are dynamic, so we recommend booking early. Okay. And the longer you take the van out, the cheaper it gets.
Okay.
We offer 100 miles are included per night. We make sure that we're all inclusive. So we include the bedding, kitchenware, table chairs, camping. A lot of our competition charges kind of a la carte for that, so you're paying extra. Mm-hmm. We don't believe in that. We think you should have camping chairs if you're camping. Jump on there, and then you can kind of play around with different locations. You can plug in Arizona and you look at Phoenix and you see like what the rates are, and they will change via season, longevity, as mentioned. And we can help plan the trip. We can help give campsite recommendations,
nice
itineraries. You know, if you want to go into the national park tour, or you can come to us and be like, I don't want to see anyone, you know, for a week, we can help you with that too. Our customer service team is incredible. We have thousands of 5-star reviews. We actually have the best reviews in the industry.
Beautiful.
So, you know, and I recommend people go in and see the testimonies of other people's experiences working with us. Mm-hmm. You know, come try van life, experience it, see if it's for you. And I'd love to get you on the road.
Absolutely. Thank you again, and I appreciate you. We do have an outro for ourselves, so you can hear every episode of our podcast at findingarizonapodcast.com. Make it easy for you guys to connect with us through social media. That's everything under Finding Arizona Podcast. Let us know who you want in next. And if you would like to send us an email, findingarizonapodcast@gmail.com is where you will go. And we end every conversation here with a kisses, hugs, and belly rubs to our four-legged friends. And we will see you next time.